And I'm reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" And then they remembered these words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is God's word.
The Bible reading is taken from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 to 57. "I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true: death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ."
Great to have you here this morning and those listening on 19.1 NBC FM. Friends, 1 week ago we were celebrating here the Palm Sunday. The events on that Palm Sunday, yet in Egypt, two Coptic Christian churches were targeted by Islamic terrorists in Egypt. 44 people killed, over 100 injured, some seriously. Threats have been made against Christians and churches. And the Coptic Orthodox priest, Father Boulos George, preaching in church on the next night, Monday night, said this amongst other things. A word to those killing us. Said to those killing us, "Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You won't get it, you won't understand what I'm saying, but please believe us. You gave us the same death as Christ. Christ was crucified. That is our faith. Christ died and was slaughtered," he said. "That is our faith. You have given us a great honour. When someone is headed home to a particular city, he keeps looking at the time. Are we there yet? When will I get home?" Can you imagine if in an instant he finds himself in a rocket ship straight to his destination? "You shortened the journey. Thank you," he said, "for shortening the journey." In the midst of pain and suffering, friends, there was confidence that Christ had defeated death by his resurrection. Death was not the end. He continued to those killing us. You are helping to fill up the churches. He said, we would often visit people, encourage them to come to worship. We'd visit three or four times and they would ignore us as irrelevant. But because of what you have done, the churches are full. You are bringing people to our churches. To those killing us, we want to tell you that we love you. No, no, you won't understand this, but Christ told us to love our enemies, to love you no matter what you have done to us. To those killing us, we want you to know that we are praying for you, that you will know the love of our Lord. The enemies, he said to them, are people in need of our prayers and our love. May their eyes be open to God's love. Quite an incredible video. Incredible talk as a pastor to his breaking congregation. Friends, death is a terrible enemy if you face death alone. The resurrected Christ makes all the difference. Death is a terrible bully no matter how it comes. By heart attack, cancer, bombings, plane crashes, through some floods, as we saw a mother and two young children lose their lives recently, car accidents, terrorists or war. But the Christ who died on Good Friday rose again on Easter Sunday. Death has been defeated. Where, O death, is your victory, writes Paul. Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, and Christ dealt with that on the cross. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not just good news, the resurrection. Let me say to you right at the beginning, it's in the evidence. A few years ago, Dr. Ross Clifford, the principal of Moreland Theological College, publicly debated the atheist Dan Barker on Christian radio station. It was just after the atheist convention in Melbourne. And Dan Barker is a former Christian minister who has joined the ranks of atheist Richard Dawkins. The debate went on for an hour or so over the existence of God, the person of Jesus, and his death and the resurrection. And Ross writes, it was not for the faint-hearted, as atheists are tough-minded. And this current crop of new atheists are angry. They don't like the gospel, the church, and wish us to be confined to the scraps of history. But Ross, in that debate, reminded Dan Barker of crucial facts found in the New Testament and in history that few refute. Jesus' death by crucifixion. He died. The tomb was empty, and the earliest disciples believed that they had seen the risen Jesus. Thirdly, said the disciples were transformed to the point of even being willing to die for their faith. Who dies for a lie? The resurrection was at the very center of the early apostolic preaching. When they preach about Jesus, it was about the resurrection. And it says, fifthly, the conversion and resulting transformation of Paul, the apostle, was incredible. A former murderer, someone who opposed the Christian church, was transformed. Dr. Montgomery, the professor of law and humanities, writes about the resurrection. Jesus' resurrection is one of the best attested facts in the history of the world. It takes more faith to disbelieve that evidence than to believe in it. Lee Strobel is a convert to Christianity. He's the author of the best-selling The Case for Christ. I wanted to let you know, if you hadn't heard, that The Case for Christ book is now being made into a movie. It was released on Palm Sunday, United States, to a large response, a great response. The movie will be released in Australia on May the 4th in our cinemas. Go along. Invite your sceptical friends to go along and to consider the evidence. What took a man who was an atheist to the point of becoming a Christian? What was it that he discovered as he searched for the evidence, the case for Christ, that turned him completely? He writes, every single shred of evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, though, is also evidence for my eventual resurrection. Because Christ rose, we can have the confidence that we too will rise in the future. Friends, the resurrection is vital. It guarantees that our sins are forgiven, that we can enjoy life beyond death. Death is not the final word, Jesus is. And firstly, the resurrection, there's two main points this morning. The first is the resurrection guarantees that our sins are forgiven in Christ. If Christ has not been raised, Paul writes, your faith is futile, it's empty, it's worthless, you are still in your sins. If Christ is still in a grave in Jerusalem, then our sins are not forgiven, he was not God's son, he was not the saviour. But if he has been raised from the dead, then Good Friday worked. Someone died in your place. Someone died in my place. God looks at you now as a forgiven person when you put your faith in him. And Martin Lloyd-Jones writes, the resurrection is the proclamation of the fact that God is fully and completely satisfied with the work that his son did upon the cross. You can find repentance and forgiveness of sins. Peter, preaching in Acts chapter 5, said these words, the God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Saviour, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. I'm so thankful that Christ rose from the dead, because I'm not just hoping that my sins will be forgiven, I'm guaranteed that my sins are forgiven, that I have peace with God. Dr. Clifford Hughes is a well-known cardiothoracic surgeon. Now, some of you I know have had bypass surgery. I won't ask you to raise your hands. A number of you have had. And you know that after you've had bypass surgery, beyond the recovery period, life gets better, right? Life gets better. And he was speaking to a group and trying to convince people that it's worthwhile going through heart bypass surgery. He says people don't want to go through the surgery. They're worried about what will happen. But they're struggling to breathe. They're struggling to survive. They're struggling to walk up hills. He said, if only you undergo bypass surgery, trust me, he says, believe me, you will be stronger, you will be healthier, you will be fitter. There's going to be some pain involved in the process. And there's pain in the recovery. But once you get through it, you'll be living a new life. Some doubted him. The fear of going through surgery and recovery, having your body pulled apart and so on, is not much fun. But then he went on to make a spiritual analogy. He said, because sin and guilt bind us to a dangerous, slippery slope that impacts everything we do, he said, people needed spiritual surgery. He said, we need to let God operate on our hearts. He said, the operation is not complex, but it is transforming. The scalpel, he said, is the death and resurrection of Jesus. If we acknowledge that we have a genuine sin problem and center on Christ, surgery takes place. We are given lasting freedom and forgiveness from the failures that bind all of us. The process, he says, may well involve personal emotional pain. There is no more liberating and empowering truth than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Clifford Hughes knows Christ. The Bible says, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. That's why we've left the crosses up here to my left and to your right. Because the cross of Christ and the resurrection of Christ come together very powerfully. And the resurrection is a guarantee that what happened on Good Friday works and that we have new life today. It is a guarantee that God will change your life if you trust in him. No option. God will guarantee to change your life if you truly trust in him. Let me tell you about John Dixon. John Dixon, and many of you will know, is an Australian preacher, author, theologian, filmmaker, historian, and defender of the Christian faith. Often writes articles for the Sydney Morning Herald, amongst other things. And he tells the story of being a young teenager, a non-believing, non-church attending, struggling teenager. He was drawn to Christ through the witness of a scripture teacher in high school. He said the teacher would run after-school events at her home. She would put scones and hamburgers and Bible study, and me and my mates, all the 15-year-old boys, would all turn up for the food. Great food. And she would lovingly tell us about Jesus. So I don't know why I went every time, but we just did. There was something about this woman, her love for Christ, that drew her or us to her. He said, I was a troubled teenager. I would shoplift a fair bit. As often Mars bars, throw them down my pants, he says, and walk out. Sometimes more serious things. He said, I'd climb over fences and break into Taronga Park Zoo. He said, just for the fun of it. He said, I had a zoo pass, I could walk in the front door. But I like to break rules and climb over fences. I like to annoy the animals, he said, as I did with my mates. And I'd steer clear of the officials and climb over the fence and leave again. Or with a zoo pass in his pocket. He said, I learned martial arts for 5 years. I wake up before 6 a.m. every morning to train, train and train. Then I'd go to school and find people to practice on, he said. It was my life. I didn't get into too many serious fights, but I developed a big head and a big reputation. It was at that point that I met the scripture teacher, who spoke about a God who loved me enough to forgive even my stupidity and my sinfulness and my violence and my anger, he said, that I had. I was an angry young man. So my mum earlier had taken me to a child psychologist. He said, I enjoyed the sessions for an hour. You imagine, he said, 60 minutes with a child psychologist. And I talked about myself for the whole time. What better thing for a rebellious, young, selfish, young 15-year-old? Psychologists thought losing my dad in a plane crash when I was only 9 might have something to do with my violent antisocial behaviour. She offered no real solution. I had allergy tests and discovered I might be allergic to cow's milk. I was taken off dairy products for several months, no change. However, he says, once I found God's forgiveness and my friendship with God took off, there was a noticeable difference. My fiery temper and violent aggression was stamped out. God started to remake me and change me. Friends, a resurrected Christ doesn't simply just forgive your sins. He starts to make you into a new person who lives differently, lives with meaning and purpose and direction like never before. But his resurrection also secures our resurrection from the dead. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, he says, then those who have fallen asleep, that means those who have died in Christ, have perished and are lost. When Paul talks about perishing here, he's talking about more than simply ceasing to exist. The rest of the Bible tells us there's an ongoing life. But you see, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, we still face the judgment of God. We still remain unforgiven. We still remain lost forever. But if Christ has been raised from the dead, our hope is an everlasting joy and life. He says, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Listen to this, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. What's the first fruits? I'm not a farmer, but if you're a farmer, you know when the first fruits come, that's a sign that the harvest is coming. You pick some of the first fruits. Oh, fantastic, fantastic. It's going to be a great harvest this year. And so the resurrection of Christ is like that. You say, he's been raised, but it's the first fruits. It's a guarantee that there's a harvest. It's a guarantee that you too will be raised. Guarantee that you too can live forever. It's a guarantee that you won't simply rot in the grave. You can live with God forever in a place called heaven. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also, 1 Corinthians 6:14 says. His resurrection is a guarantee of our resurrection. It's interesting talking to skeptics and atheists. Someone said to me once, okay, Ange, if you can... Well, the way he put it, he said, if someone were to come back from the dead, listen to this, if someone were to come back from the dead, then I'll believe, he said. I said, really? You just want someone to come back from the dead? He said, someone already has. His name is Jesus. And the evidence for his resurrection from the dead is there for you to consider. And I often say, have you ever read the evidence? Have you considered the evidence for the resurrection? There are multiple books which explain the evidence for the resurrection. He said, I never have. I said, would you like to read a book? And he said, no, I don't want to read it. I said, why not? I mean, if it's true, you may discount the evidence. You may think the evidence is not strong, but don't you want to at least examine that evidence? I wonder whether you've examined the evidence. You're happy just to go along with life ignoring God. You've examined the evidence. If you'd like to examine the evidence, we'll give you a chance at the end of this service to let us know, and we'd like to give you something to help you with that. I think most people in Australia pray this prayer. I wonder if you agree. I hope there is a heaven, and I pray there is no hell. As we live our own lives, ignoring God and doing our own thing, at the end of it, I hope there is a heaven. We go to funerals, loved ones are lost, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, and everyone's talking about seeing them again in the future. And you're standing and you think, none of you believe in God. What do you mean we'll see them again in the future? Isn't it interesting that when we get to death, we all are hoping for a heaven. We are hoping for a better place. We are hoping that there is life beyond. But we pray there is no hell, because most of us know how we've lived. Opposing God, rebelling against God, doing our own thing. John Dixon makes an interesting observation. He says, if our only explanation of life comes from science and there's no God, what are we left with? Our origin, we are a mutated flake or fluke of evolution. Our destiny will eventually rot and become food for worms. Our life, we are a collection of minerals and chemicals worth, let me tell you how much you're worth, $5. Our past, it had no purpose. Our future, it contains no hope. Our present, it possesses nothing of meaning or value. If we are simply a mutated flake of evolution, life is pointless and meaningless. But God says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Friends, this is a choice we make. Believe in Christ and his death and resurrection and find life. Reject the Son and his death and resurrection and remain under God's judgment. Let me conclude and tell you a story about Mary. Mary was not a very happy woman. She was going through a divorce, and obviously that's a terrible situation to be in, a lot of pain and anxiety and stress. And she was angry. She was unhappy. Everyone else was wrong, and she could not see any of her own faults. She had few friends left, and she had alienated most of her family. There appeared to be no presence of Christ in her life. She attended a church healing service when she discovered she had leukemia. Where do you go? You've got an illness. Maybe prayer will help you. The pastor prayed for her, and he sensed that God was working in her life. A few days later, she was in intensive care. The pastor went to visit her. And the pastor offered to pray for her again and talk to her about Jesus. She says, no, I don't really want to know about God now. But before she could go further, she said, well, in fact, I do. Can you just pray for me? Can you tell me more about God? He said, in the hospital room, this woman who was alone with a few friends left, she prayed a prayer and thanked Jesus for dying for her, asked for his forgiveness, and asked Jesus to be her Lord and her friend. And she asked Jesus to change her through his spirit there in the hospital. A few days later, she passed away, and the pastor was doing the funeral at a crematorium. There were only a few people present. Her ex-husband approached the pastor. They shook hands, and the pastor said, I'm sorry your life together wasn't that good, that things ended like this. And he replied, don't be sorry, I wouldn't have believed it. He said, a miracle took place. He said, what do you mean? He said, I went to that old so-and-so on Tuesday afternoon, and she took my hand and said words I never thought I would hear. She said, I'm sorry for all the pain I caused you. He said, we talked further and we parted as friends. It was a miracle, he said. The woman had been truly healed by God, forgiven by God, changed by God, even in those final few days that she had on this planet. She died at peace with God and her loved ones, and she was spending eternity with Christ. Friends, the gospel is good news. The resurrection guarantees forgiveness, new life, and eternal life. Let us celebrate that good news today and follow Christ. Friends, in the foyer, as we mentioned on Good Friday, there are a couple of booklets you might like to read if you'd like to know some more. The Real Easter, a little green booklet, Two Ways to Live, the Choice We All Face. They're available for free. There's a visitor's notice board in the foyer. Feel free to take those, have a read of those.